Hello and welcome to our carol service, Ingleton Evangelical Church's carol service for Christmas 2020. It's a little bit different this year. We're not able to meet in the community centre or the Eye Centre or even our own church building on Laundry Lane this year. But that doesn't mean that we can't still celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem 2,000 or so years ago. So we're going to do it online. We're doing it in this YouTube video instead, and we'll have carols performed and sung by some people from the church here in Ingleton. We'll have some readings picking up on the Bible passages that speak of the birth of Jesus. And we'll think a little bit as well about why it's such good news that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. So we'll begin with our first carol. It's one of the best known carols of all. It's called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke chapter 1. Both of these passages were written before Jesus was actually born. The first one in Isaiah 9 was written hundreds of years before he was born, but is one of the Old Testament prophets predicting of the Saviour who would one day come, the King who would one day be born. The second passage tells us about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary to tell us that she is going to have a child.
Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old, for there is nothing that God cannot do."
"I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
Our second carol is called "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." It's a carol that is all about the need and the longing of the nation of Israel for a saviour to come who had been promised. Emmanuel is one of the names given to Jesus, and it actually means God with us. We'll think about that a bit more later in our carol service. But this song, it longs for his arrival, not just for the people of Israel, but for the people of the whole world, so that they can be part of God's family. They can be with God when they trust in Emmanuel. So let's hear, and you can sing along too as well, "O Come, Emmanuel."
Israel.
going to hear a reading from Luke in chapter 2. And this is the passage that records the actual birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. It tells of how Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem. That wasn't their hometown, because Caesar Augustus, the Roman Empire, had decided that all the people of the empire needed to be registered in the town which their family originally came from. So we'll hear now from Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Silent Night is a carol about the birth of Jesus and the night that he was born. I honestly don't know how silent it was. And the Bible doesn't tell us that he was born in absolute silence. But it's a poetic way of describing the birth of God's Son. So we'll hear now and sing together our next carol, Silent Night, Holy Night. Jesus had been born there in Bethlehem. The command went out from angels to some shepherds in a field that they were to go and see him. The point of Jesus being born is that people should come to him. We're invited to come to Jesus, all of us. And this reading is about that. Come and see the Saviour. God with us that God has given. We'll hear now about the shepherds going to see him in Luke chapter 2. And then after that, we'll go immediately into our next carol. O come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant, come now to Bethlehem.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8-16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of the great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." And listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the child, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
In so many ways, it's not really been a year of great news, has it? It's been a year when we probably, most of us, feel as if we've lost so much that we would normally enjoy. Some of us have lost our health. Some of us have lost our jobs, our income. Some of us have lost the ability to enjoy our hobbies that we enjoy, perhaps sport, or ones where we meet with other people to enjoy some particular pursuit together. There's so much that we've lost. Perhaps the hardest thing to lose of all is one another. I'm not just speaking there of people passing away, that's the hardest loss of all, but just simply the company of one another. That's a really hard thing to lose. At this Christmas time, our government has relaxed some of the regulations somewhat so that people can spend time with loved ones at Christmas, but even then we're told it comes tinged with risk. But we miss them. We desperately want to be with the people that we love. We want to be in their presence, not just so we can get presents from them, but so that we can be with them. Actually, that's an incredibly appropriate thought and emotion and desire to think about at Christmas time. The Christmas message is all about God with us. Earlier we heard the carol, and perhaps you sang along at home, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, that name given to Jesus at his birth, it means God with us. Why is that so significant? And why is that so important to think about at Christmas time, in fact, any time? Well, it's because God wants us to be in his presence. He wants us to enjoy his company, to be part of his family. He wants to embrace us and us to embrace him. He wants that relationship of love with us, but not a distant one, a close one. The Bible tells us, though, that we've lost that. That we don't actually have a close relationship with God. The Bible says this is because the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, who enjoyed that closeness with God and being able to be in his presence all the time, they threw it away by disobeying God. The Bible calls that sin. Basically, Adam and Eve decided, "God, we don't need you, we don't want you, we're going to go it on our own." And as human beings, we've been doing that ever since. We don't come to God to enjoy his presence. In fact, we can't because of this thing the Bible calls sin, our rebellion against, our disobedience of God. But that's not actually the way God wants things to be. God wants us to be able to come into his presence, to worship him, and to take the ultimate satisfaction and joy from doing that. He wants us to be his children again. But for that to happen, the thing that gets in the way of our relationship with God has to be dealt with. Just like at the moment, we know that the virus, COVID, gets in the way of us being able to enjoy one another's company. It needs to be dealt with before that can happen. So the Bible teaches us sin, the thing that gets in the way of our relationship with God, needs to be dealt with before we can enjoy his presence again. Now, we can't solve the problem. We're hoping and praying that scientists will have indeed solved the problem of COVID and come up with a vaccine or some other way of getting rid of it. But we can't solve the problem of sin. We can't solve the problem of our rejection of God and rebellion against him. We just can't. It's beyond us. So God decided that he would solve it. How? By sending his son, Jesus, God with us. Jesus, you see, wasn't someone who came into existence for the first time in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Jesus was the eternal Son of God. He has always been. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father sent the Son to take on a human body, a baby human body 2,000 years ago, born to Mary, in order that he could be God with us as a man. And not just God with us as a man, but God with us as a man in order to solve the sin problem that separates us from God. Jesus, when he was a grown man, went to the cross in order to pay for our sin, in order to deal with it, so that we need not be separated from God any longer. When we come to Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem, God with us, we come and ask, Jesus, forgive me for my sin that has cut me off from you, from the Father in heaven. Forgive me. Pay for my sin on the cross so that I can once more be part of God's family. Enjoy his presence. Come to him with joy. The joy of sins forgiven and a repaired and beautiful relationship with him. I hope this Christmas time you do get to enjoy the company of other people. I hope it's your loved ones, your family. And I'm sure it'll be wonderful if you get to do that. And I hope and pray that you stay safe as you do that. Maybe you're not doing that though. Maybe you're staying on your own. Either way, I hope that you get to enjoy the most wonderful relationship of all. The one that you can have with God through Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, who came to bring us back to him, to forgive our sin when we put our trust in him, so that we can enjoy being with God forever. We're going to finish now with our last carol, which is called Joy to the World. But before we have that one sung for us, and sing along at home if you want to, I just want to wish you a very happy Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful time despite everything that's going on. I hope you get to enjoy in some way, whether it be online or in person, time with loved ones. And I hope as well, as we've thought about, that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself if you don't know him already. The one who is God with us. And the fact that Jesus has come so that we can know God and be with him is cause for rejoicing, for joy, for happiness, for celebration. And that's what our last carol speaks about. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Let earth receive the King. Let death.